Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Well, it's a good crowd this morning here. This is almost enough to take an offering. That's how I judge how to take it to church. Hey, I am glad to be. I'd rather be here this morning than the nicest jail in the state of Tennessee. This is a good crowd. You know, taking those prayer requests and things makes you so much thankful, don't you? Lord, you've been so good to me. I've got good health and things. Most of my family does. And when you hear different things that are going on, it's like, Lord, don't let me take it for granted. And so we want to pray for each other. And the older I get, the more I want a different kind of ministry than what I've had, and that I want to be an encourager. I don't think I've been a discourager, but I want to be encourage people more. I want people to be able to draw near. I hope I can use what gift God has given me to draw people and want to serve God better, want to know Him better and love Him more. This is the time. We all need encouragement, don't we? I mean, if you read the news or listen to the news, if you just talk to people, there's so many problems around there, and it's discouraging. I used to listen to some to talk radio, but I have officially turned off. Not that it's wrong, not that it's, but it's so depressing. You know, I don't think Sean Hannity has ever had a happy day in his life. Okay, I like him, but man, it's okay. I get it. We're a mess, you know. But what I want to do is I want to encourage you. I want to take God's word and ask God just to do a good work in us. Is that okay? Now, let me start. I'm going to give you something. Do y'all participate? Do y'all feed back to the pastors, preachers? You do that? Amen. Oh, that's what I was looking for. Okay. I want to give you a little bit of help. You know, it's hot in here. I'm not hot, but people are fanning. If I'd have known that, I would preach on hell instead. But I'm going to do something better, okay? We'll cheer you up a little bit. Let's speak on heaven. No, but I'm going to give you something to say. And if you can say this about once a day, it'll make you feel better, okay? You ready for this? I've got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems. Amen? Let's say that together. I've got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems. And all God's people said? Now, don't you feel just a little bit better? You're not in this thing by yourself, you know. So what I want to do is take whatever time. How long do you say I have? An hour? How long did you say? Hour and a half. Okay, don't say that. All right, I want to take the time that I have. I just want to encourage you. I know the Christian life is to be a life of joy. Doesn't mean that we don't have hard times. Doesn't mean that we don't run into things that can take the wind out of us. But I think even in the middle of the darkest valley we go through, He's with us, right? And here's something I believe. I believe God is sovereign. He is the only sovereign. You can't have but one, and He's it. And I think that anything that enters your life is either God caused or God allowed. And my subject for that is Job. All right, he couldn't move an inch unless God said, "Okay, go ahead and try that." And that's true of our lives. And if you can say, "God, this didn't take you by surprise. You aren't unaware of what's going on right now." And so I just run to you like a little youngin' and cry out, "Father, help us." And I think we ought to be, even in the dark valley, there ought to be some joy in us. I don't mean giddiness, but I mean just an unshakable joy at knowing that God is in control, that He loves us. And the scripture says, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly before Him. Isn't that a good thing? And of course, that famous verse, we're in Romans at church right now, in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. And if it's going to work to good, it has to start out bad, right? So it's going to happen. Just as James said, consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces stick-to-itiveness, endurance. And so that's a fact. And I think we need to, maybe have a rally time about once a day and just say, okay, we don't know what this day holds, but we know who holds the day. And so let's run to Him. Let's trust Him. And when the bottom falls out, let's just trust Him. Let's cry out to Him. I think that's what He wants us to do. So what I want to do is give you some ammunition that will help you do that, okay? I want to give you about five elements that you'll need if you're going to have a happy life. And I don't mean happy, silly, but I mean just a life that in the darkness you see some light. And in the light, you just rejoice in that. Is that okay? Oh, that was weak. Let's try to... Hey, okay, all right. So the first thing that I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to make God a priority. Now, don't you expect a preacher to say something like that? But it's awfully easy in the hustle and bustle of life not to forget about God, but to put your eye on the problem and not on the problem solver. And we need to make him the chief element in our life. An attorney came to Jesus one time. He said, what's the greatest commandment in all of the scripture? And what did Jesus say? You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And that's it. God is to be the preeminent, predominant thought in our life. And so make God first. Put him up first. Call out to him relatively often. Make him a priority. Let me give you some verses, okay? First one is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And it says this: For by him, God, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the glue that keeps it all together. That's why in our public schools, when we took God out of there, it just blew to smithereens. That's why when you take him out of the government, it goes to smithereens. The glue's gone. If you don't keep him preeminent in your family or in your personal life, it's going to fall to pieces because he is the glue that holds it all together. Romans chapter 11, one of the first verses I learned memorized when I got saved is Romans 11:36. And it says this: For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Stan Hill translation says this: He is the source and the course and the force of all things. He's the whole package. And when you run to him, when you get up in the morning, if God's not nervous, you don't have to be nervous either, right? And God's never nervous. That means, okay, all right, you all right? Had to give you a little clue on that one, all right? Okay, number two is get in the book and stay in the book. Now, the book I'm talking about is God's word. Get in the book. The psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? So I won't sin against you. All right? And what we have to do, we need to read the book. We need to study the book. We need to memorize the book. And we need to meditate on the book. Amen? It's not enough just to let a preacher. What if you ate one time a week? Can you imagine how puny you'd be? Or how about if it just two or three times a week? You'd still be puny, right? And we ought to feed on the Word of God. It is our owner's manual. It tells us who God is and how God is and how God thinks and what God wants. All right? And Paul said, Do you not understand as the children of God? You ready for this? You have the mind of Christ. Now, for these folks, they like that verse in the Old Testament that says, His ways are not our ways and our ways are not what, that kind of thing. The only problem with it is that's the Old Testament. When God came in and you were born again, what happened to you? Who moved in? The Spirit of the living God moved in you. Paul told the Corinthians, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own, but you've been bought with a price? He is living in you. He's living in you. And so what he does, he prompts us to study God's word. He prompts us to memorize. He prompts us to meditate. And I want to encourage you to do that. Before you read the internet news, right, if you still get that little, what's it? You used to have a little piece of paper came to your house. What was that called? They still have those things anywhere. You know what I'm saying? But wherever you get your news, before you turn that on, before you listen, run to the Word of God. And you say, This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because I know God, and God can handle anything. Matter of fact, He's in control of everything. And all God's people said, okay? And so get in that book, and don't just read it, but memorize it. Does anybody have a verse memorized? Anybody in this? Okay, shaking your head. She wasn't going to say, yeah. What's your name? In the purple, yeah. Is that purple? Who? Misty. All right. I like Misty, don't you? All right, Misty, she's going, what verse do you have memorized? Finish it. That will keep you busy forever, just meditating on that one, won't it? For God. Who? God. When my boys were little, they're all grown up and married and got families of their own now, but when they were little, they would say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I think we ought to live dynamite lives. I mean, if he's in us, we should just, don't you agree with that? But if you'll memorize those, and then once you have them memorized, when you go to bed, if you want to go to sleep, just meditate on God's word. The devil will knock you out in a heartbeat. He does not want you meditating on God or the things of God. So get in the book and stay in that book. All right. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved as a workman unto God. Let me read. I knew I was going to mess that up. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. That's a command. Get in the book. Make it part of you. When you look at life, look at it through chapter and verse. When it rains, remember that verse says it rains on the just and the unjust. When it snows, it ought to remind you, hey, though my sins were like scarlet, now they're as white as snow. Do y'all remember Peanuts? It used to be the cartoon Peanuts. Charlie Brown one time was looking up and he just said, the Bible says it's raining on the just and the unjust. He said, raining right in my face. And a little rain's going to come, but that's okay. Rain brings growth. And all else people said again? Amen. Okay. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Have you ever watched Christian television very much? Oh, my soul. I'm almost against it. I mean, there are more nutty people out there than you can shake a stick at. And they're teaching the weirdest stuff. So what you want to do, and there are good people on it too, but there's a lot of people you say, where did they get that from? And the best way for you to recognize untruth is to know the truth. So you stay in that book, and the Spirit of God, when somebody says something off the wall, his spirit will bear witness to your spirit. Nah, that's not right. Here's what I did when I first got saved. I didn't know I didn't come to the Lord until I was 26, and I didn't know how much of what I had learned as a kid was right or wrong, was really Bible or not. And so when I got saved, I said, God, I don't want to play a game. I don't want to just go through the mud. I don't want to just be a church member. I really want to be devoted to you and live whatever that means for you. Would you show me? Now, I didn't have the sense to do this. I'm persuaded the Spirit of God put it in me to say this. I said, God, whatever I read in your book, I'm going to do. If it says do it, I'm going to do it. If it says don't, I'm not going to. Well, when you first get saved, especially as you're older, everybody and his brother's got some good advice about how you'd be a good Christian. You know, as back during the Jesus movement, I was so spiritual. I had a Scofield King James Version Bible. That's spiritual. All right. And somebody had taken that book, and I had long hair. Well, I didn't have girl hair, but I had long hair. I know it's hard to believe, but I did. And somebody had took, I don't know, to this day, I don't know who it was, but it took that verse in Corinthians, I believe it is, that says, long hair is a glory of a woman and shame to a man. And I read it. I thought, I wonder what that means. So people wanted to help. But I would have people say, if you love Jesus, you know, you won't have hair on your ears. If you got hair in your ears, you got sin on your heart. Some crazy stuff like that. So when they did, I would just say this. I would say, where is that? And I'm telling you, almost nobody who tried to help me could tell me where that was in the scripture. The most common answer I got to, where is that? I think it's in Revelation. Because people couldn't understand it, you know. All right. But you get in the book and just say, God, if you'll show me to do it, I want to do it. If you say don't do it, I want to stop. But get in the book. All right. All right. Number three. All right. Get around other Christians. Get involved in a local body of believers. Now, I got a lot of folks. If there's one big damage COVID did, there's a lot of damage, but one that did was they said the church is non-essential. You don't really need the church. And there are folks, that's been 4 years ago now? There are folks who quit coming to church then and haven't gotten back into church anywhere. That's wrong. The scripture says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, which is the habit of some, but all the more as you see the day coming, you gather and encourage one another. And we need to do that. We need each other. Your church needs you. You need your church. If you don't have a church, I'll come by on Sunday morning and pick you up. Okay? Don't hold me. I'm just kidding about that. I'm not going to come pick you up. Okay? You're on your own. All right. Maybe we'll buy a bus or something, pick you up. I don't know. All right. But you need to be involved with other believers around other Christians. You need to be in church. And it's so encouraging when you hear somebody who has struggled the way you're struggling. When I first got saved, when I was lost, I was lost. I didn't pretend like I was saved. I was as lost as a ball in high weeds. And so, but when I got saved, I wanted to do what was right. And if you can tell, I'm a man. I'm sure of that. Born a man, die a man. All right. And I was a relatively rough character. I wasn't a motorcycle rider like that. But the pastor that kind of took me under his wing invited me to a Bible study on Saturday mornings for men, just for men. And that was a God thing for me, because I got around these men, and they were all men, you know, and they were construction workers and doctors. I mean, just all kinds of things. And the devil had told me I was the only one who had a bad past. I really wasn't worth much to God because of the way I'd lived before. Well, I got in that class, and the first thing that he did, he said, "Tell me your name and who you are and a little bit about yourself." Well, they went around that room, and all of them had warts and bumps and bruises. They had junk in their life that they would just wish it never would happen. It was like God said, "See, Stan, you're not the only one." And it was like setting me free when I realized God can forgive and forget and use even pagans when they get saved. Right? And you need that. We need that. You need to hear, when you hear of somebody's faults and failures and then victory, it's going to encourage you. Oh, if he'll do it for him, he'll do it for me. So get in church. This is something I've noticed as a pastor for almost 40 years now. One of the tricks that the devil uses to defeat people, especially Christians, is get you out of regularly going to church. I can't think of the number of times that somebody in our church just began to do something different. You know, they were all of a sudden too busy to come to church on Sunday morning. They just bought an RV and they wouldn't go camping instead. They just bought a boat and wanted to go to the lake instead. They just bought a whatever. They just did this and wanted to go whatever. And they just little by little began to miss a Sunday and then two Sundays and a few Sundays. And they come back and then they'd miss another like that. And before you knew it, they never showed up. And following some of those families, you know what happened? In just a little while, that family blew to smithereens. See, the devil's method of operation is to divide and conquer, to get you away from the shepherd and the other sheep and get you out there where you have zero defenses. Let me encourage you. You need the church. And as much as that, the church needs you. Are you young guys? Is this the only two young guys in the crowd? Hey, the church needs young people. They have vision and energy and desires. And the old folks, we got the money. Right? No, but you know, Sam, he uses it. You show me a church that doesn't have a good youth group, a vibrant youth group. I'll show you a church that's on the road to destruction. Because you know what happens? One by one by one, we're going to pass out of here. And if you don't have the replacements coming in, the first church I ever pastored was kept it pretty full. And I was gone for about 10 years or so and came back around, and they asked me to come preach on Sunday. They were without a pastor. I said, "Yeah, I'll be glad to preach for you." When I got there, in that church service that morning, counting me and two missionaries who were just going through town, there were 9 people at that church. And that's what happens, though, when you don't feed the sheep, and they begin to go look out somewhere else, and the kids get dragged off by whatever like that. But you need the church, and the church needs you. And all God's people said, okay. Number 5, talk, 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 talk. Learn how to be a conversationalist. You need to talk. I have a friend, and this is his saying. He said, "I believe everybody's entitled to my opinion." And he talks like that. He does. I mean, and you don't even have to ask him. He'll give it to you. All right? And the truth is, you do have things in your life. You have failures and flops and successes and experiences that I need to hear, that it will encourage me, that will teach me. You better keep your guard up there. That one will get you. And so we need to talk, talk, talk. God made us to need each other. That's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need each other, all right? And if we stop talking to each other, I've seen this happen too. If I stop talking to the people around me, all of a sudden, I don't know them as well as I used to. They don't know me. And the devil says, "You know what he thinks about you? You know what that?" He whispers in the air, "Well, you," and starts these rumors. And before you know it, you don't even like each other. You need to talk. You need to explain. You need to just respond to each other. And it's so important to do that. Now, let me tell you what I've learned. It is easy to be misunderstood. Have y'all learned that yet? You can say one thing, and it comes out of your mouth saying what you want to say, but it goes in somebody's ear saying something else. Let me give you a couple examples. Years ago, Lowe's had microwave ovens were, $200-$300, had microwave ovens, and it had a sale up there, and it's a true story, and it said, microwaves, $50. And so we was talking to the salesman, and he said, they won't last long at that price, so I bought one. And about 6 weeks, it kicked over. He was right. It didn't last long. I thought he meant something else, you know. My wife's Pam, and she's a good woman. And she was at Walmart, our home away from home. All right, and she was back in the frozen chicken place back there. We was having some company over, so she's trying to find, she can do a chicken something or other. The stock boy came by. This is back when they had stock boys. And she said, excuse me, do these chickens get any bigger? He said, no, ma'am, they're dead. True story. Right? Here's another one. We had a guy work, and I thought, but I can't. He worked at one of the furniture stores that used to be downtown. That was Ball Brothers, a home or something like that. Worked there forever. And he had a young married couple come in, and they were looking at some furniture. He was trying to sell me, give that thing, you know. He said, we can put that on a revolving account. He said, you make one payment, you don't make another payment until 6 months. He said, who told you about us? But anyway, you want to learn and learn what to say. As a pastor, I've said more dumb stuff. My primary fruit is offending people. I can say good morning, say, who you think you are, tell me good morning. So don't tell me what kind of day to have, you know. But there's some things you shouldn't say. For example, you know, hey, you don't need to eat that. You're big enough already. That's not good. Or, man, is that a zit on your face? No, you don't say that. You know, look for encouraging words. Say upwards and not downwards. Do y'all know who Zig Ziglar was? He's gone home to the Lord now. Zig Ziglar had a great saying. He said, I do everything I can do to keep away from stinking thinking. There are people who just seem to revel, and they love that down that or negative. He said, I just say, hey, I try to be nice to them, and I move on. And what you want to do is, if you get into a room of stinking thinkers, try to lift it up a little bit, right? Just say, you know, here's my thing. People have already said this. Man, wasn't it nice Saturday? It wasn't even nicer Sunday. Man, it was in the upper 70s. Yesterday it was like 74, 75. It's only 60 degrees this morning when I got out. It's going to be, 78 today? Is that right? But you know what people say to me on Monday? Yeah, but they're calling for snow on Thursday. I go, I may be dead by Thursday. I don't care. That's one of the curses of the internet. You get on the Weather Channel, and it says this is this and this is it. And about 8 years from now, you're going to have a snowstorm right down here. And you don't, I say, this is going to be great. You don't go, 8 years is coming up. That. But do away with that, all right? Just try to encourage people. Try to find things to say to people that will lift them up and not knock them down, okay? It's a job, but there's a big audience for stinking thinkers. I mean, they're everywhere, you know. Before you get out of the house today, you're going to find somebody going, you know, I don't know if I ever do something. Just let it go, all right? You think that's bad. You ought to see my problem. My problem bigger than yours. No, it's not. One final thing, all right? This is the spring of the year. I don't know if women still do this or not, or men either for that matter, but it used to be have a thing when you cleaned your house, and it was called the real spring cleaning. I want to encourage you to go home and do a spring cleaning. I want to encourage you to clean your house of some stuff that doesn't have any business all of being there. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, and I believe he's talking about that Faith Hall of Fame crowd, because in 11 is all about that. He said, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, let me tell you what happens at my house, and I promise you it happens at your house as well. The devil's good at getting little things on that aren't very pleasing to Jesus. Some things that probably we shouldn't fiddle with. It may be DVDs. It may be little doodads. It may be some little fat guy from India, you know, or wherever that guy's from. What's his name? Bubba. What's his name? Buddha, that's right, not Bubba. Bubba's a guy from, Bubba's from Georgia, you know. Buddha, those kind of things. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe there is. I think you open the door to bad stuff when you get the things that does. You ought to go to your house and do this. Just go, start wherever you want to start. Maybe take your whole family with you and just start in the little. God, is there anything in here that displeases you? And it may be clean. If it is, praise the Lord. But if he puts his finger on something, you know, that's really, if God walked into your house today, would you go, should have moved that one out of the way, you know? But start there. Go to the den and go there. Go to the bedroom and go there. Go to the family room. Go to the laundry room. Go through the kitchen. God, is there anything in me that displeases you? And just clean your house of that. You're going to be shocked at some of the little things that come in just to give an avenue to maybe lead your children astray or maybe cause some division in the family. Clean it up. We're on our way somewhere. Your prayer requests were a grief to me because of so many things that happened. People had passed. Well, somebody said it was the season of, what you call it, Carol? Season of death or season of homegoing? Homegoing. You know, we're all going home, hopefully, you know, soon. I'm ready to go now, to be honest with you. I don't want to get on the bus this afternoon. But if it's the scripture says, it is appointed, understand, once to die. Right? And put your name in there. We all have an appointment with it. It's going to happen just as sure as the world. Let the days that you have left be fruitful days. Let the days that you have left mean something for God. Join this company, this ministry. It's not a company. I love CMDA. The more I know about you, the better I love you. And you can expect attacks from the enemy. Y'all take a strong stand against abortion, and you know how that crowd is. But you're on God's side. Up to God's work. I was telling somebody this morning, J. Hudson Taylor started the China Inland Mission years ago. He's long been gone. And the China Inland Mission is stronger than it was when he was alive. And his motto was this: God's people doing God's way will never lack God's support. One of the other old guys said, what God orders, he pays for. All right? You're doing his work. There are things you need. There's an air conditioner you need. And all the ladies said, okay, you know, and that's a big, I know a little bit about it, not that way, you know, mine's a little bit bigger than that at the house. But, no, you know what I'm saying? That's God's air conditioner. This is God's building. This is God's ministry, right? And say, God, would you give us wisdom to show us what to do? Do you realize he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? You know some more good news? He owns the hills too. He can spring oil up in his backyard if he wants to. God can take care of that. Your job is faithfulness. Your job is drawing near to him, obeying him, walking with him. Say, God, if there's anything in any of us that's hindering you from working, just help us to get it out of the camp. God, we want to please you. Ain't that what you want, really? And we want to love you and serve you. Help us to do that. It's true in CMDA, but I believe it's true in most of y'all's personal life. You just want to know him. Seek him. He said, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. That means no holds barred. Just God, whatever it takes, I want to know you. And all God's young and said, amen.